All right, welcome to another edition of Thumb Sports Line on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. I'm Eddie Theory, and with me, joining me shortly, will be Mike Gallagher from the San Luis County News. He's typing up his deadline, but on the phone right now with us also is Thumb Sports Media play-by-play announcer, also part of the Thumb Sports Media Association, and the sports writers, Jonathan Bisher, on the phone with us from Thumb Tailgater Sports. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Great. Are you on the road?
Yeah, I'm on the road like always.
Okay. So it is Sportsline and Week 7 in the books as we get ready for Week 9, believe it or not. As we run down the scores here, plus a recap from Week 7 action. A lot that happened in Week 7. And a lot that could happen here coming up in Week 8. Some playoff implication points, of course. And still a couple titles still on the line to win it outright. We'll find out all about that. But right now, you can check out our scores on our website, stlakebroadcasting.com. Click the Daily News Sports section or just stream the front homepage also. So here we go with the scores from Week 7. Our game of the week, it was high school player football, the Carsonville Port Salem Tigers defeating the Caseville Eagles. Tigers got the win 24-16, but Little Fury didn't get the crown, but she was happy that the Tigers got the first win of the season, 24-16. First win of the season. Jonathan, have you ever been part of a team when you've only had, you didn't have any wins yet, but when you got that first win, sigh of relief?
Yeah, I may or may not have been part of a few not-so-good teams. So, yeah, I've definitely been there for. I feel for CPS. Congratulations to them. They avoided a winless season. That's always a it's a building block for a program.
Okay. And also in high school player football, Akron Fairgrove shutting out North Huron 36-0 sets up the big clash for the North Central Thumb League Stripes Division Championship as Bay City All Saints defeated Ashley 66-0. You couldn't ask for anything better coming up in Week 8.
Now, Week 8, NCTL Stripes title on the line. Bay City All Saints, Akron Fairgrove, going to duke it out.
New Haven Merritts took down the Pack Pirates 62-8. Brown City Green Devils defeating Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. Tough game there, but it was 28-13. And Brown City pretty much has the North Central Thumb League Stars Division title, at least a share of it. Deckerville Eagles defeating Mayville 44-6. Kingston over KPAC 48-8. And I do believe it was Burton Atherton defeating Dryden also on Saturday afternoon. High school A-player football all set up there. All right, 11-player football. You were at this game. We're going to talk about this in this first half hour of our Blue Water Area Conference coverage. It was Armada defeating North Branch 22-19. Man, what a big win there for Armada. Much needed win, too.
Yeah, Armada and North Branch is now on the edge of making the playoffs, so they got to finish strong here in the final 2 weeks.
And Elmont getting, I do believe, a share of the Blue Water Area Conference League title after their win over Richmond. Handled them handedly, 42-7. Croswell-Lexington shutting out Emily City, 35-0. They need help from Yale to defeat Elmont. So Croswell, if they win against North Branch this week, they can at least get a share of the title also and be a co-champions. We'll see what happens. Yale bouncing back themselves with the win over Algonac, 42-7. The Ugly Bearcats defeating Sandusky, 39-8. Pretty much winning the Greater Thumb East League Championship for that big win for Ubley. All right, Marlette Red Raiders over Bad Axe, 39-8 also. Harbor Beach defeating Memphis, 60-6. Cass City over Lakers to win the Greater Thumb West League Championship, 26-16. And it was Reese shutting out Carroll, 44-0. Vassar over Unionville Seaboing, 14-8. So,
hey,
yes.
That's not winless now on the season.
That's right. That's the first win of the season also. So USA got their win last week, and Vassar gets theirs against USA, coincidentally, the following week. But Ubley winning their Greater Thumb East League championship outright now with the win over Sandusky. How many in a row is this now?
Three straight
for Ubley, so quite a dynasty there. All right, that is our scores for Week 7. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Blue Water Area Conference with Jonathan Bisher here from Thumb Tailgater Sports. When we come back here on Sportsline, we'll be right back after a quick break.
Whether you're a homeowner looking to cut branches on your property or a professional looking to cut the toughest tree, steel from Tri-County Equipment is the name trusted for generations. Right now, Tri-County Equipment leads the way with great savings on the steel power equipment that you need for the fall season. Save $30 on a steel BG56 blower, now $169.99. Save $50 on the steel TSA 230 model, now $499.99. When it's time to cut wood for the season, do it right. With a steel MS-250 18-inch chainsaw, now only $369.99, a savings of $50. You can also save $20 on the steel BGA 57 sets, now just $179.99. And remember, all purchases are backed by Tri-County's factory-trained professionals. For a steal of a deal on dependable steel products, visit Tri-County Equipment with locations in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Burton, Fenton, Lapeer, Bertrand, Reese, Saginaw, and Auburn Hills. Tri-County
Equipment. Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. We've had a great summer, and I would like to thank the many volunteers who work so hard to make our area festivals and the Sanlac County 4-H Fair a big success. Now that fall is here and the children are back in school, be sure to drive safely and watch for the youngsters as they walk to and from school. There's no question about it, it's getting colder and the furnace is clicking on during the night. And if you are a customer of Kohler's Propane, you don't have to worry about whether the furnace will click on. We've got you covered with Keep Full Delivery, our price cap programs, and our guaranteed price for one full year. If you are not a current Kohler's customer, now is the time to make sure you stay warm this winter. Contact Kohler's Propane, a locally owned company serving you for 74 years. Call 800-572-2191 or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Hello, Mark McGarry here for more motor sales in Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales in Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro on M81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline. Talking about the Blue Water Area Conference. Week 7 recap. The Elmont Raiders getting the win over Richmond 42-7. They scored 20 points in the first quarter, another 15 in the second to make it 35-0. Another 7 points in the third, and then Richmond getting some, well, finally scored in the fourth. Elmont with no score there, 42-7 to move on and remain undefeated for the Elmont Raiders at 7-0. Total yards, 403 total rushing yards. I don't think they even threw a pass. 12 first downs also. Started off with Matt Boholski with the scoring first in the first quarter with a 30-yard TD run, 50-yard TD run for Chase Batani, and another one for 80 yards to make it 20-0. Chase Davandowski and Chase Batani with another rushing score also. Matthew Boholski with a second touchdown in the third quarter. Connor Bergeon had the 4-yard run and the only score for Richmond, who had 128 total yards on the ground. And, well, Mr. Davandowski didn't have to do anything. He just sat back and threw 0-for-2 for passing for the Elmont Raiders himself. So the Elmont Raiders leading rusher, Chase Batani, with 11 attempts, 215 yards and 3 touchdowns. Boholski with 115 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Elmont Raiders, who remain undefeated and now have earned a share of the Blue Water Area Conference Championship. You got a chance to see the Elmont Raiders yourself a couple times. What's impressive about this team, what they've done so far?
Well, it's just their defense. This has got to be one of the most athletic defenses I've seen all year. They cover sideline to sideline so well. They take away what you do best, and they force you to beat another way. Why they got the number one defense in the Blue Water Area Conference. I mean, Aiden Furquan, he is an absolute stud in the middle there for the Raiders. And then offensively, they love to run the ball, but they're not one-dimensional. They do it in many different ways, off tackle, between the tackles, outside. They can just beat you with different guys. It's not a one-horse show. They got four or five, six different guys that really week to week it varies on who's going to beat you. The 2 weeks I've seen them, It was Luke Winkler being the difference maker, but then this past week it was Chase Betany. You've seen Matthew Bukowski. He's made a difference for the Raiders. So it's just, they just got weapons galore, and defensively they are loaded.
They're the team that beat the Cross-Lexington Pioneers. You saw that game, I believe.
Yep.
Not too long ago, 30-20 was still a battle for Elmont, but they had a little bit more power, like you said, defensively and rushing-wise. Really did a good job in containing what quarterback in Billy Grappi run-wise?
Yeah, Espinoza was able to get around and do some damage against them a little bit, but for the most part, they took away Grappi, and I think that was their goal. So far, no team this year has been able to slow down Billy Grappi. Elmont did that, and that's why they hand across like their first loss.
So up next for the Elmont Raiders in Week 8, they're going to go up against the Yale Bulldogs. Yeah. Now, the Yale Bulldogs, you really got to be careful of this team, and they're 4-3. And, you know, yeah, they did got hammered by the Cross-Lexington Pioneers that I had saw 41-0. They kind of got back on track here with Emily City and Algonac scoring 40-plus points each. They defeated Algonac in Week 7, 42-7, and then the week before Emily City, 44-13. Two teams that typically most teams are, down on their luck here in the last couple of years, but two teams that you can get your confidence built back up. And you can't look past this Yale Bulldogs team. We know they got a pretty good offense. They did defeat Armada earlier in the season, also 34-28. If they can get that offensive plan and match up with Elmont this week, they could pull off an upset. But it's going to be a long ways to go against a very good Elmont team who seems to be really playing really well at this point.
Yeah, Yale's one of those teams that you can't quite figure out. One week, they look great offensively. They defeat Armada. Then the next week, they're just what happened to this Yale team. So I know Elmont's going to go into that game. They're thinking, we can't take Yale lightly because, well, last year they almost pulled off the upset against Croslex. This year they pulled off upset against Armada. So this is a team that, on a given night, can beat the best team in the BWAC. And I think this is the one time in the year where Croslex is going to be Yale fans.
All right. And Emily City, losing to Yale Bulldogs 44-13. Yale, 6 of 10 of passing, 93 yards. Threw an interception, but got a touchdown out of it. Rushing-wise, they had 25 carries and 138 yards. Obviously playing for some short field. Three touchdowns also on the ground. So I think their special teams likely scored against the Emily City Spartans also in the game. So we'll see if the Yale Bulldogs can pull off the upset. As you said, Cross-Lexington Pioneers probably sending the roses and maybe even some dog food or some bones for the Yale Bulldogs coming up. Speaking of the
Cross... That's a treat.
Yes, they need treat, and it is October. So Cross-Lexington Pioneers, meanwhile, defeating Emily City themselves as Yale played them previously earlier. 417 yards, total yards for Cross-Lexington. 104 passing yards. Rushing-wise, they had 313 rushing yards on the ground, scored in the first quarter 7-0, two more touchdowns in the second quarter, both runs, and two more runs in the third quarter to make it 35-0 over Emily City. Pretty much a five touchdowns rushing-wise for the Cross-Lexington Pioneers. And like you said, kind of praying that Yale can pull off the upset. But Cross-Lexington's got to stay focused. They're going up against a North Branch team that you just saw coming off a loss against Armada. Tell me about that game against North Branch and Armada as we talk about this game now.
Well, that was the definition of a back-and-forth game. You know, North Branch got on the board first towards the end of the first quarter, and then Armada responded in the second quarter with two touchdowns, one of them being a defensive score, and you went, oh, no, North Branch, you know, might fall out of this one real quick. But then I also wondered at halftime if what Armada team was going to show up. Is it going to be the team that I've seen twice against Croslex and Elmont, where they didn't show up in the second half after having a very nice first half? But this is an Armada team that, in the third quarter, they handled North Branch's punch, and they came back in the fourth quarter and delivered the knockout punch of their own to come away with a 22-19 win. And that was an absolute dogfight. North Branch controlled that game. They controlled the clock. They controlled the ground game. Defensively, they stymied Armada. Armada couldn't run the ball, but a pick six and just a couple of big plays and penalties was really the difference in that game.
Yeah, it says that it was a 10-yard pass for Armada Tigers to get the last score and the two-point conversion also. even though they probably didn't need it. But it's nice to have if you there's a field goal possible in the game. So,
well, that was the difference. It made it a 3-point game to where a field goal didn't win it. But that pass from Lucas Pratt to Zeffy July in the back of the end zone, someone needs to call Odell Beckham Jr. and let him know that Zeffy July might have just topped him for a catch of the year.
So 22-19, great win for the Armada Tigers, but that pretty much took North Branch out of the hunt for the Blue Water Area Conference League title also, as they fall to 4-2 in conference play, 4-3 overall for North Branch at this moment. And I'm trying to get these stats set up here and downloaded that you had sent me. On the ground for North Branch, 268 rushing yards, 190 for Robinson there. What's his first name for North Branch?
Braden Robinson, the quarterback.
190 yards, and the second leading rusher was Gorman with 73 yards in the game also. It looked like they had the offense. Not much passing. They got 0 yards passing on six attempts, but you said three interceptions in this game.
Yeah, that's the difference in games is some turnovers, and that's really what killed them. You know, one interception was at the end of a half. It was kind of a Hail Mary desperation heave. So you take that one out of the way, and they still lose the interception or the turnover battle 2-1, and that's the difference in the game, including one of them being a pick six. You take away that first interception that was a pick six, that take away 7 points from Armada, and you got the lead.
All right, and for the Armada Tigers, 98 yards, as you said. Couldn't really get anything going on the ground. 82 yards. Obviously, it was defense for the Armada Tigers to pull off this win, because on paper, North Branch pretty much, you know, looked better on paper yards-wise. It was just better defense by Armada.
Yeah, well, rushing-wise, North Branch really did. Armada had that bend-don't-break type mentality, and they forced three turnovers. And you can give up yards if you're going to force turnovers, especially when you get a defensive score out of it. So North Branch, yeah, they moved the ball, but you got to take care of it, and you got to punch it in the end zone when you can.
All right, so that puts Armada Tigers at 4-3 overall. And coming up next for them, they will have Richmond. That's still going to be a tough game, despite Almont putting them down 42-7. And then Corona at the end of the season. If they can win out two games there, has Snooze put them in maybe making a playoff spot or not?
Yeah, right now the playoff points favors in Armada. They are in, as of now, in Division 5, I believe it is. Two wins guarantees they're probably in the playoffs. One probably does it, but it keeps you borderline. Two probably gets you a home game. One probably means you're on the road.
Pretty much must-win situation. Okay. North Branch Broncos.
We'll go with that.
North Branch Broncos, kind of like the same deal here. They got Croswell Lexington, obviously a tough game, big showdown there, and then Holly also to end the season.
Yeah, North Branch needs these two games. That loss to Armada put them out of the playoff pictures for the time being. So they, two and they're in, one, and they might be on the outside looking in still in Division 4. So this is a big-time game for the Broncos coming up against Croswell.
And also for Croswell Lexington Pioneers, they have North Branch left, could earn some good playoff points there, and then Freeland to end the season. They can't afford a loss, I think. They're only a one-loss team. They could afford two losses, but you would love to get one of those wins, maybe host a home playoff game in the first round.
Yeah, you say afford two losses, and they're probably not a first-round home team. They're on the road, and you never want to be on the road in the first round of the playoffs because, well, it's not fun traveling in that cold weather. You'd much rather be home. You don't want to sit on that bus for multiple hours because they're probably going to be traveling, you know, over an hour away.
All right, that is the BWAC talk here on Sportsline Radio. Of games here, I will have really quickly here when we come right back.
Turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943. or head to the AVS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The AVS Tech Team, serving the Thumbs technology needs since 2008.
This October, we dare you to try the Thumbs preferred mobile carrier, Thumbs Cellular. This entire month, switch to Thumbs Cellular or add a new line and get your first month of service for free. You heard right, a full month of service completely free. Choose an unlimited plan and pair it with the smartphone you want. And of course, don't forget the accessories. Buy any accessory and get one half off, including cases, chargers, and hands-free devices. These deals are only around until October 31st. Hurry into your local Thumbs Cellular today in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, and Sandusky. Or go to thumbscellular.com/deals. Terms and conditions apply. All offers require device purchase with an unlimited plan. Apple AirPods not eligible for half-off pricing. Speak with a customer care representative for details. Thumbs Cellular. We dare you to try it.
Can't wait to communicate with you on the talk of the phone. Thumbs Cellular.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
All right, just a few seconds here to go to the list of the Blue Water Area Conference games. And we're leaning right now towards the North Branch at Croswell-Lexington game for our game coverage. Not confirming it yet, but looks like a pretty good game on the list. We're also looking at Marlette at Reese, as Marlette needs some playoff points. All right, the Blue Water Area Conference games of the week. We have North Branch at Croswell-Lexington, Elmont at Yale. And that's going to be a Saturday game. You just told me that was a Saturday game, right, Jonathan?
Yep, that's a Saturday game.
Richmond is at Armada and Algonac at Emily City. That's a Blue Water Area Conference list of games for week 8. Elmont wins, they win the outright BWAC championship. And if Yale wins, Croswell-Lexington, if they win over North Branch, they'll get a share. It'll be co-champions of the BWAC also. So we'll see what happens. Your 6 p.m.
But if Croslex loses, Elmont's automatically the BWAC champ.
That's right. All right, your 6 o'clock news is coming up. Thank you, Jonathan.
You're welcome.
Celebrating over 50 years on the air. This is AM 660 WMIC Sandusky and 95.3 FM W237 EQ Sandusky.
Welcome back to another second half. We're in the second quarter, you could say, of Thumb Sports Line Radio on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM, and streaming online at stanlackbroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link. Choose any of our stations that are streaming. We look into the Greater Thumb Conference. We already talked about the Blue Water Area Conference. Ubbly still undefeated, 7-0, defeating the Sandusky Wolves. And take a look at the Greater Thumb Conference. The Greater Thumb East League Championship was fully decided with the Ubbly Bearcats defeating the Sandusky Wolves. 39-8 was the final score. Ubbly scored first in the first, 6-0. 8 points scored by Sandusky in the second quarter, but Ubbly also had 7 to make it 13-8 at the half. So pretty close there. But then Ubbly shut it down in the third. 19 points scored to Sandusky, 0. In fact, the Ubbly Bearcat defense shut out the Sandusky offense. Ubbly get another 7 points on the board in the fourth to win 39-8. In the first quarter, it was a 3-yard run by Candon Peruski. The extra point kick failed. Second quarter, Ubbly's number 11, that is Volmering, with a 2-yard run. Kick was good. Sandusky's also, Jackson Renke getting the lone score for Sandusky with a 4-yard run. 2 point was good. In the third quarter, It was all Peruski. Camden Peruski with a 7-yard run. 2-point conversion failed. And then Camden Peruski with a 49-yard run. And the kick was failed. And that one with a PAT. 39-yard run in the third with Camden Peruski. It was all Peruski. Camden Peruski in the third quarter. The kick was good, finally. And in the fourth, an 8-yard run by number 5 Ozentowski of the Ubbly Bearcats. And the extra point kick was good also. And looking at the stat-wise, Ubbly, 351 yards rushing, 6 touchdowns on 33 carries, 48 carries for Sandusky, 210 yards and 1 touchdown on the ground. Each team completed 2 passes, 2 of 5 for Sandusky for 28 yards and 2 of 3 for Ubbly for 20 yards passing. So not much passing going on in that game. And your leading rusher for the Sandusky Wolves, Carter Krause, who was denied a touchdown but had over 132 yards rushing with 21 carries and 54 yards. The second leading rusher, 16 attempts by Jackson Renke, who scored the lone touchdown for the Sandusky Wolves. That's what we got for the Ubbly Bearcats, their win over the Sandusky Wolves. Third straight league title for the Ubbly Bearcats on the Greater Thumb East League Championship. As they get ready now for a showdown with Ubbly at Cass City. Big game there. It's the battle, you just could say, the unofficial Greater Thumb Conference Championship game. It's kind of cool that Ubbly is taking on Cass City, the first place team in both conferences of the East and West of the Greater Thumb Conference. And then the second place team is also facing each other, Harbor Beach. Take it on the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers. So very cool on that aspect. But Camden Peruski stepping in for the injured other Peruski for the Ubbly Bearcats. He was on the sidelines from what I understand in the Sandusky game. So healing up and getting ready for the last couple games for playoff points and, of course, for the playoffs also. Seems to be doing well. Next man up. And that's what the Ubbly Bearcats are doing. Looking at Sandusky, they are 4-3. 4-3 right now. The final couple games, they have Carroll and Unionville Seaboy left. You know, it's a long shot odds of making a playoff spot at this point. But, you know, you want to win out and stay above that 500 mark. And those are winnable games. And Sandusky can run the ball very well. That's the meat and potatoes, just like Ubbly's is. So keep your head forward and see what they can do there. Now, Ubbly Bearcats took care of business game by game. Greater Thumb East League champions. Congratulations to them. 7-0. You have already assured yourself a playoff spot. And now you're playing a big game against the Greater Thumb West League champions, the Cass City Redhawks. Now, Cass City already played a Greater Thumb East League opponent way back in week 2, where they lost to Harbor Beach 28-14. But, you know, Harbor Beach, Greater Thumb East opponents, winning over Cass City. Now, you think Cass City might have fixed some things and learned a lot from there, and they have, because that was the last loss they had in league play overall. But it'd be a pretty exciting game, pretty exciting matchup. This will be on Thumbtail Getter Sports. So now, on the flip side of that, the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers will take on Harbor Beach, the second-place team, so 2 second-place teams taking on each other, and that will be on WLEW Sports also. So you're going to see the second place and first place teams facing off. I really like how that just came out to be for week 8 in the Greater Thumb Conference. So cross-conference play this week in the Greater Thumb East. Take a look at some of the other teams. Right now, fighting for playoff survival is the Marlette Red Raiders. Now, they got the win over Bad Axe. They went in and defeated Bad Axe 39-8, scoring 8 points in the first, 12 more in the second, 12 more in the third, and 7 to wrap it up in the fourth quarter. The win 39-8 over Bad Axe. Logan Malloy from Marlette with a 7-yard TD run. Quentin Sarton with the 2-point conversion. Marlette with the second score at the 6-minute mark left in the second quarter. Trey Lester, 47-yard interception return for a touchdown on defense. The 2-point run was no good. Alex Andrich for Bad Axe getting the score in the second. The lone score for Bad Axe with a 45-yard TD pass to Logan Miles. Nathan Pawlowski gets the 2-point run. Quentin Sarton with a 2-yard run in the second quarter. 2-point pass failed. That's at the 2 seconds left before the half, and that's a dagger there before the half ending. 6:15 mark in the third. Marlette Quentin Sarton with another 1 yard TD run. And then Sarton with a pass to Wesley Chapin for 58 yards. In the fourth quarter, Quentin Sarton passed to Logan Smith for 11 yards. So passing and running, very done well, but it was all running on the ground for Marlette Red Raiders. 47 carries, 254 yards rushing, 19 first downs converted for Marlette over Bad Axe. And 5 of 6 for passing, 136 yards, and throwing a touchdown pass in the game also. Penalties? 5 penalties for 37 yards, so that's something you got to clean up. Especially when you have a matchup coming up and you're trying to find a playoff spot. And it is possible, but you got to win out the last two games, I believe, to get in. Now, with that win for Marlette, they are 5-2. Just 2 losses. That was to Harbor Beach and to Ubley. And Marlette this week has Reese. Now, Reese is a tough team, despite the record. And then they'll finish up the season against Waterford, Our Lady of the Lakes. And that's not going to be easy either. Well, Waterford, Our Lady of the Lakes usually typically makes the playoffs against some of our Greater Thumb East opponents. This season, though, they're 3-4. So it's not likely they're going to make the playoffs. But still going to be a pretty tough team regardless for Marlette. So got to keep your eye on the ball, win out, and get that playoff spot. But this week first, they do have Reese, and that's on the road at Reese. Reese is, have their tough up and downs throughout the season. They look good in week one. Of course, that was week one against Sandusky. But they're 3-4, and they got the win over Carroll after losing to the Elkton Pitch and Bayport Lakers 42-6. Back in week 6, this past week, they win over Carroll 44-0 for the win. And they got 2 more games here. They would love to win out against Marlette as they host them, and then Lakeville. They have Lakeville at the end of the season and try to stay above a 500, at least at 5-4. Now, playoff chances are out. Playing for pride, playing for a winning record is what the Reese Rockets are looking for themselves. Looking at the Carroll Tigers also, their loss to the Reese Rockets in week 7. Tough loss there for Carroll. Carroll's 2-5 overall this week. They will be against Sandusky. And Sandusky's smarting after having 2 straight losses as they will take on the Carroll Tigers. They lost to Harbor Beach, and then again they lost to Ubley 2 weeks in a row there. So they love to get back on the winning track, and having Carroll on your list is good to have, but don't want to look past this Carroll Tiger team. So the Carroll Tigers themselves will finish out the season also against Mount Morris also. So, and going back to the Bad Axe Hatchets with their loss to the Marlette Red Raiders, Bad Axe falls to 2-5 with that loss. And they have a game against Unionville Sebring. So Unionville Sebring, just a 1-1 team. Bad Axe wraps up the season against the Lakers. As Bad Axe is in a Greater Thumb East, by the way. So, but a loss to Vassar for Unionville Sebring Patriots. That was Vassar's first win, as we talked about in the top of the hour there as we went through the scores. Vassar getting the big win, 14-8 over Unionville Sebring Patriots in Week 7 in the Greater Thumb West. Vassar's finishing out the season themselves as USA has Bad Axe this week, then Sandusky at the end of the season. While Vassar this week, they will have, looking at the record right now, Memphis and then Genesee. Some winnable games there for Vassar, so, or even for Genesee also. So Vassar Vulcans, yeah, it's been a tough season, 1-6 overall at this point. When we come back, we'll talk about what the Harbor Beach Pirates did also themselves. We still talk about the Greater Thumb Conference. Plus, we got to talk about the Greater Thumb West League Championship game with the Lakers up against Cass City. Cass City coming out on top on that one also. with their big win. Harbor Beach Pirates themselves, let's just get this over with. They got the win over Memphis. 60-6 was your final score in that one. That was a huge win. And 6-1 overall. They have a good game up against the Lakers, although the Lakers lost to Ubley earlier this season. Pretty high substantially. But Harbor Beach Pirates not playing pretty much for the league title now, as Ubley's won it outright. Now you want to try to get a home playoff game. And if you can get the win over Lakers this week, that will help, as the Lakers are 4-3. Now, they lost back in week one to Millington, to Ubley, and to Cass City. And then they have Harbor Beach this week. So you're playing against some pretty tough competition for the Lakers. Harbor Beach, they'll have Beale City. Beale City, who is 7-0. The Aggies seems to be a thorn in the side of either Ubley or Harbor Beach when it comes to playoff time. But now they're going to meet them in the regular season. What a matchup they sign up for. So looking forward to that matchup. And just seeing Beale City alone is a treat. That's who Harbor Beach has left. Lakers, and then in week 9, wrapping up the season against Beale City. So quite a treat there for us to for fans of high school football and just football in general on that aspect. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about what the Lakers and Cass City went down with. That game was on WLBW Sports. Clark Ramsey sending his results and stat report on that. We'll talk about the stat report on that one. When we come back here on Sportsline, Thumb Sportsline, Mondays, 5:30 p.m. till whenever we're done. Still plenty of North Central Thumb League to talk about also as we wind down to the end of the season here. Week 8 is here, folks. I'm going to check on the weather forecast. A cold start after that warm weather we had. Had that rain on Friday night into part of Saturday. And just high winds. And cold today. Good thing I fired up the wood stove, too. So check in now with the weather forecast of John McMurray.
A forecast for the rest of this Monday. Look for a mix of sun and clouds, mostly cloudy to partly sunny. A spotty rain shower possible, mostly to the mid and northern parts of the area. The high temperatures 51 to 53. Spotty rain tonight, lows 41 to 43. A few showers possible for Tuesday, then partly sunny Wednesday, but a late day shower possible with a high 56 to 58. For the WMIC and WTGV 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John McMurray.
Thank you, John. And the air temperature right now in downtown Sandusky at the Sand Lake Broadcasting Studios, holding at 51 degrees, cloudy skies. Winds up to 20 miles per hour, 8 to 17 miles per hour currently. The humidity is currently holding at about, looks like around 52%. The barometer pressure at 29.63 inches.
Hello, Mark McGarry here for More Motor Sales and Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales and Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro on M81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. We've had a great summer, and I would like to thank the many volunteers who work so hard to make our area festivals and the Sanlac County 4-H Fair a big success. Now that fall is here and the children are back in school, be sure to drive safely and watch for the youngsters as they walk to and from school. There's no question about it, it's getting colder and the furnace is clicking on during the night. And if you are a customer of Kohler's Propane, you don't have to worry about whether the furnace will click on. We've got you covered with Keep Full Delivery, our price cap programs, and our guaranteed price for one full year. If you are not a current Kohler's customer, now is the time to make sure you stay warm this winter. Contact Kohler's Propane, a locally owned company serving you for 74 years. Call 800-572-2191 or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky invites you to join the team. Get active and meet new friends. Fall bowling team registration is going on now. are openings for ladies' leagues on Monday evening and Wednesday morning, men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evening, and mixed leagues for Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. Beginners are welcome. For more information, call 810-648-9860 or stop at Liberty Lanes. Oh yes, Liberty Lanes is also hiring for all positions. Stop in and apply at Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky.
Whether you're a homeowner looking to cut branches on your property or a professional looking to cut the toughest tree, steel from Tri-County Equipment is the name trusted for generations. Right now, Tri-County Equipment leads the way with great savings on the steel power equipment that you need for the fall season. Save $30 on a steel BG56 blower, now $169.99. Save $50 on the steel TSA230 model, now $499.99. When it's time to cut wood for the season, do it right. With a steel MS250 18-inch chainsaw, now only $369.99, a savings of $50. You can also save $20 on the steel BGA 57 sets, now just $179.99. And remember, all purchases are backed by Tri-County's factory-trained professionals. For a steal of a deal on dependable steel products, visit Tri-County Equipment with locations in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Burton, Fenton, Lapeer, Bertrand, Reese, Saginaw, and Auburn Hills. Tri-County Equipment.
All right, welcome back to Thumb Sportsline Radio on WNIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. Mike Gallagher in the house, man.
I made it.
You made it.
Only a little bit late.
It's okay.
Okay, thank you.
The preparation that the Thumb Sports Writers Media Association pretty set me up, and the BWAC does a good job of sending her stats, at least online there, Mike.
You know, I like how you say Media Association. If Paul was listening, he'd be very upset, but I like that you sneaked that
He's
in.
He's not even print. He's media online. Uh-huh. That's media.
Uh-huh.
It's not printed, is
uh-huh.
it? I told you I was going to be right in about 5 short years there. Yeah. So. And look at the rest of the media.
Yeah.
It's media.
Mm-hmm. It's media, but.
Just like this guy on the phone, Clark Ramsey from WOW Sports. So, how you doing, man?
I'm starting my own age. I'm starting my own association.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
So one and there's only one vote, right? So
yeah.
Yeah. It's my own, and that's my own opinion, and that's apparently how people think of me. Okay.
All right. Let's talk about that game, Clark. You had the Greater Thumb West Championship. Couldn't set up any better for you. It was the Cass City Redhawks, though, winning over the Lakers. Tell me about the game and the atmosphere there. Obviously.
Well. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it was, like you said, it set up perfectly for us. Both teams entering the game undefeated in divisional play, 4-0 against 4-0. And Cass City, the atmosphere there is always great. I love their environment. They've done some great upgrades to their complex there, and it only aided to the game. A classic rivalry between Lakers and Cass City, as always. And then you throw on a divisional outright title on top of that. And we were pretty excited. And Cass City felt that excitement, and, I mean, kind of set the tone early in that game as they ran back the kickoff 99 yards in for the score, which was hard to fathom. I mean, Tyler Kumper actually muffed the kickoff, but he caught it at about the one, bounced sideways, picked it back up, had actually had his back foot in the end zone, and then broke a few tackles, and then he's off for the races. And all of a sudden, just like that, 13 seconds in the ball game, it was 8-0 already. And I will say, Lakers did look strong. They knew what they had to do to win that game. But unfortunately, Jay Sears only had so much support around him when it came down to it. And when all said and done, I mean, Jay Sears went down with an injury in the second half, actually tackling Cohen Sherman out of bounds, and then actually knocked both of those players out for a little bit out of the game. And then a few plays later, Jay Sears then got another injury when he ripped open his whole elbow. And it was bleeding, so they just pulled them at that point. And at that point, they were down already. And I mean, it was a 14-12 game at halftime. Cass City was leading by 2 points, but then they tack on 2 more scores in the third quarter to really start pulling things away. And Cass City knew what they had to do to win that game as well, and they executed that game plan quite effortlessly and stayed to the script. And I think that was really the difference maker. I mean, Cohen Sherman, who's just coming back from injury, he actually had a broken arm missed the majority of the first half of the season. I think he came back maybe last week or the week before on very limited duties. And, I mean, he led the way with 16 carries, 103 yards, and three rushing touchdowns. And then the only other touchdown of that game was Tyler Kumper with the opening kickoff. So he scored all three offensive touchdowns for Kansas City. And it was that addition that Cassidy's been looking for, and it really adds a new dynamic to the Redhawks offense and defense as well. So Kansas City looking strong in your 2023 Grantham West champions.
Tell me about Jay Sears' injury. Do you know, is he going to be back for this week?
I mean, how
bad was the injury? Because it looks like a broken elbow or something, the picture I saw.
It was funky. So the Cass City sidelines are pretty small as it is.
Yeah.
And so the track is pretty close to the field. And so Cohen Sherman was running out of bounds. Jay Sears comes and tackles him to make sure he was out of bounds, actually gets a flag for a late hit out of bounds. But as the tackle's made, there was so much energy into that collision that both of them went flying. Cohen Sherman goes into the steel bench, which is probably 4 feet off the field, maybe 5 feet, 6 feet off the field, and hits him. So he's a little shaken up. And then Jay Sears, I wish I could go back and watch the game, but unfortunately they had an error in the NFHS system, but somehow got on the backside of the bench. And so he was actually nursing his left knee after that. And then it was like two or three plays later, all of a sudden he's running off the field because he's got blood on him. Well, that was the photo that we saw from Paul Adam or from Jason. And it was just like, how'd that happen? You know, when did that happen? And so I think he'll be fine. He'll be back this week for sure. He's a tough kid. I mean, he's a hockey player. And I think Lakers will certainly see him on the field, and they need him on the field. I mean, when you take a look, the Lakers had 166 yards of offense on the game. Jay Sears rushed for 100 of those and threw for another 58. So Jay Sears was not involved in 8 yards on that game. That was from Colton Pulaski and Caleb Neaton on the other eight carries, counting for 8 yards. So Lakers needs Jay Sears to be healthy. He's always kind of struggled with injuries just because he's not afraid to go in there. It's kind of that Tyler Franzel. He's going to play hard, and he's going to play tough. And unfortunately, there are some ramifications of that in the game of football every so often. And good to see. I mean, Jay Sears, the kid does it all. And that was the thing. When he went out, all of a sudden they had to punt the ball. And they had no punter because Jay Sears also punts the ball. He also kicks the ball. I'm pretty sure he works concessions at halftime. You know, so the guy does it all.
Clark, we kind of have the de facto Greater Thumb Conference championship game this week. You've seen Cass City. You've seen Ubley. What are the Redhawks' chances against the Bearcats this week?
Well, speaking of injuries, you know, if Evan Peruski plays in that game, I don't know how close to 100% he's going to be. It sounds like that lingering injury he's had for, you know, since the spring, since track season, has been kind of affecting him. And
four touchdowns against Sandusky. I don't think the injury is that bad. So
that was the other Peruski.
Oh, that was the other Peruski?
I believe so, yeah.
There's two Peruskis.
That was Peruski.
Evan did have quite a bit of a limp when he was walking off the field on Friday night, but I mean, we all know he's a pretty tough player.
Yeah.
So
okay. Did they keep him out?
Yeah.
They did.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, to beat Ubley, you're going to have to stop just the fullback trap and, you know, the power run. That is the absolute key to Ubley, and force them to air things out, spread things out of the field, and then you've got a puncher's chance at them. If you can't run the ball, on offense, if you can't run the ball against them, you also are going to have to air things out, and you're not going to have a puncher's chance because one-on-one, you're probably going to lose that battle. I mean, Cannon Brewski, linebacker on both sides of the ball, linebacker as well as halfback, the guy's a beast. And he has a nose for the football that always seems to be in. He's been leading tackler for how many years now for Ubley. So you're going to have to deal with that. But Ubley's offense, their line, and we see this every single year, Ubley continues to get better every single week. And as the season progresses, they get more in sync. They're getting, you know, their line is getting stronger and stronger and healthier and getting to more comfortable with the guys around them. And all of a sudden, they're this one just unit in sync. And it's so tough. They know exactly what they do. They have a huge playbook. They don't use the playbook. They stick to, I mean, when they beat Harbor Beach, they literally use 7 plays at most. And so they know what to do. They do it so well. No one runs the tee better, and frankly, the state of Michigan, when you think about it. Everyone else has their own styles. But the way Ubley runs the tee, no one does it better. And I think that's the result why we've seen such success from this team. And, you know, people were saying at the beginning of the year, oh, this is a shell of an Ubley team that we've seen in the past. Well, they're still pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. They're blasting through their competition, Evan Brewski or not. They've still got so many elements in there. And I think if Evan Brewski is out, I don't know if he's going to be or not, but you've got a player by the name of Luke Valmering who's just kind of sitting there, just kind of hanging out. It's kind of like at Alabama when, oh, who's the next five-star quarterback that's just been playing third string? You know, so Luke Valmering can handle that offense just fine himself and kind of brings a different dynamic to that team as well. He has a strong arm. He has a eye downfield and can see things unfolding as they happen too. So Ubley will be fine. I think I give the edge to Ubley if you look at it. If using the transitive theory of geometry, you know, Harbor Beach beat Cass City, 28-12 mm-hmm. or something, I can't remember what it was. And then Ubley blows out Harbor Beach 56-20. And, you know, so if A equals B and B equals C, Ubley beats Cass City. But, you know, that was 4 weeks ago. So yeah. A lot can change. A lot can happen in that time. But Cass City's also gotten a lot better since that Harbor Beach game. They learned what they did wrong there, and they haven't looked back since. So for Cass City to beat Ubley, they need to stop. They need to make them one-dimensional. And so far in the last 3.5 seasons, we've seen two teams be able to do that. Beale City 3 years ago and Ottawa Lake Whiteford last year. Those are the only two teams that I've seen make Ubley one-dimensional. And is Cass City the team to do it? They have elements, but I haven't seen Cass City put together four solid quarters in a row that's going to be required to beat Ubley.
I failed geometry. I could only draw a square, a triangle, and a circle, and I said, there we go, geometry.
Well, a circle has nothing to do with geometry.
It doesn't?
That's why he failed.
It was a circle that took me down. Mm-hmm. Damn. So have you seen Cass City before this game earlier at all?
Yeah, we covered Cass City against Bad Axe in week 1.
All right.
And they've improved drastically.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They're more unit.
Yeah.
And Cohen Sherman adds a lot to that team. Absolutely a huge addition to that team.
Yeah, so, but again, you know, we that was back with their loss against Harbor Beach also. Harbor Beach, obviously, I thought improved against Sandusky. We were both at that game. They ran a pretty good, solid game there. They're going up against the Lakers, and boy, that Harbor Beach team, a big difference from week, because, you know, watching the video online also, a stark difference from in week 2, even though they got the win over Cass City earlier in the season. As they go up against the Lakers here, I mean, now we're seeing Lakers a little shaky here, going in pretty bruised here. But Harbor Beach seems pretty solid right now, and they're playing the best ball. I mean, they're going to have Beale City, going to be a tough 7-0 team. They're a thorn in the side. But, hey, if you can get this win, it'd be a nice home playoff game possibly. But, you know, Beale City is a tough team, obviously. But I like that schedule for Harbor Beach. They're going to get in the playoffs regardless. But do you think they've vastly improved since you know, even though the loss from Ubley, but they had that week 2 win over Cass City, looking down later now against the Lakers, just more solid.
Absolutely. When you take a look at Harbor Beach, how much of their team is comprised of sophomores? And a key to a successful team in the Thumb, Michigan, is a team that it grows and expands their strength week after week. If you start out the season, this is actually a Troy Schalke post-game pep talk to his team. He said, if you do not try to strive to get better every week, what's the point in practice? And that kind of resonated with me a little bit. I said, yeah, that makes sense. Because and that's the strength of Harbor Beach this year, is they've got a lot of sophomores in key positions. And I think we're starting to see, it's not that Caden Buchholz was behind, but he's getting more comfortable in that quarterback position. What I'm seeing more now is, up to this point, it was Caden Buchholz, when he's going for the pass game, when he's rolling out, you know, play action and stuff, he has one target in mind. That's Benton Harper. Understandably, he's the best target in the Greater Thumb Conference. But now he's getting to that second check down. He's looking for his third option. And so the moment that happens, Harbor Beach gets a lot more dangerous. But what I've been most impressed by is Harbor Beach's defense improving. They struggle against Ubley, and they give up how many hundreds of yards to Ubley. But every other game we've seen Harbor Beach, or I've watched film or checked out tape on Harbor Beach, they really shut down their opponents. And that's what I'm most pleased to see about the improvement of Harbor Beach over the year. And I think that's what's going. I mean, we have Harbor Beach Lakers this week, and then we haven't announced it yet. I guess, you know, hit the breaking news button on Sportsline here, but we're covering Harbor Beach Beale City week number 9 as well.
As well as you should.
Worst kept secret in the world that we're covering Beale City Harbor Beach in week 9.
I'll be curious
to see what happens there.
I think fans, even if you're not a fan, go to the school at Harbor Beach, that fans want to come out and see Beale City regardless too. Mm-hmm. You know, across the area.
That's an intriguing game for me. I think that's gonna, frankly, that tells us a lot for what the playoffs are going to look like, and that's a large reason why I'm covering that game is because I want to see what is going to be down the road. I mean, depending on what you look at, Snooze to You or Goose Poop, whatever projections you look at, Beale City is certainly in the mix. Whether our local district in Division A goes north or south, that's another question. Where it's kind of on the cusp there. There's one situation where our local district, you know, Ubley, Harbor Beach, Marlette, and Marine City, Cardinal Mooney are the four teams right now. They could go south, and then Saugatuck is going north and playing against Iron Mountain and Frankfort, you know, these other teams. Or Harbor Beach, Ubley, Marine City, Cardinal Mooney, Marlette go north. Saugatuck, Muskegon Catholic Central, those teams go south, and then Beale City's in the mix there. So that's why I'm excited to see what this is. This a Beale City of the classic Beale City mentality where they're just going to run it right up through you and, you know, dominate? Or is this going to be a Beale City team that's, yeah, they were good, but they're certainly beatable? And I think we kind of saw that last year when Cassidy went against Beale City. I think that was last year, wasn't it, when they played Week 9, I think?
Don't
quote me on that, but yeah. And so I think that's what we're kind of going to see this year. But I mean, you never, Beale City, it seems like they're always 7-0 at this time. Mm-hmm. And that's what the situation is this year. So I don't know what that game's going to look like. And frankly, on a selfish note, by covering Beale City in week 9, I get their stats, so I don't need to do so much homework in week 12.
There you go. Clark, yeah. This is probably a question for you for after the Harbor Beach Beale City game, but you look at Harbor Beach's schedule. They had Cardinal Mooney. They're going to play Lakers, Beale City. They've played Marlette and Ubley. Probably one of the toughest schedules in the Thumb. Do you think that their schedule has helped set them up enough to maybe compete with Ubley? Should we see that rematch in the postseason?
It will be closer. I will say that much. I still give the until Ubley is beaten, you always have to give the edge to Ubley.
Yeah.
But I think their schedule certainly has aided Harbor Beach. I think we kind of saw that. I mean, look at Lakers. They took their licks early in the season. Mm-hmm. They started out 0-2, then they roll through the West, and they're like, "Oh, all right, we're back to things." And then all of a sudden, you know, Cassidy had their number a little bit, and so you're saying, "Oh, okay, all right. What if they played some tougher opponents in there?" That's no. You know, that's not a misfortune of their own. I mean, that's all league play, which was their four wins that were pretty against weak competition. So there's nothing. I mean, they went out and picked the best. I mean, Millington, Ubley. I mean, those are our top two teams in the Thumb Media Association.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, you like that. Yeah. I mean, I write, but I don't consider myself a sports writer. So it certainly doesn't hurt Harbor Beach for the schedule that they had. When you take a look at when you're playing Cardinal Mooney, and there's a chance they could run into Cardinal Mooney, depending on how it plays out, but it looks like, you know, Cardinal Mooney would end up facing off with Ubley. But in that rematch with Harbor Beach and Ubley, we saw it in the second half when Harbor Beach started spreading things out and airing things out, and Ubley really didn't have a whole lot of an answer for the passing game of Harbor Beach. There was one time when Benson Harbor had Evan Peruski so beat that Evan Peruski knew that he was beat and literally just yanked the jersey so hard that Benson Harbor fell over because he knew that he's going to give up a touchdown or the pass interference. So he just really ripped him down to the ground. It's the age-old question. Was Harbor Beach not showing their whole playbook when they were playing Ubley because they knew they're going to meet him again? You know, I don't think that's the case. Every coach is going to go out, especially against their rival, and try to beat their rival every single time. But I think what I've been impressed by, it seems like in years past, Harbor Beach has always tend to come out in the tee, and it's like they almost give up that first series because they're trying to establish the run game, and by that point it's already 8-0 Ubley, and then all of a sudden it's 16-0 Ubley. And what I'm impressed with Harbor Beach is their play calling this year seems to get deeper into the playbook a little faster, And we saw how Rich rolled right down the field. I saw this against when they played Cardinal Mooney in week one. They rolled right down the field, and all of a sudden it's 8-0. And just like the, or, you know, 8-6 when Cardinal Mooney got the ball first. So that's encouraging. I think it'll be a closer game. I still give the edge to Ubley, but it all depends if Evan Brewski is still with a lingering, you know, injury. What does that mean for that rematch? Who's going to face, who's going to go on single man coverage against Benson Harbor? And so that certainly changes the dynamic a little bit, because then all of a sudden you have to put Luke Vollmering over there. Well, all of a sudden, you know, is Dustin Emmerich the guy to go to? Is Rogan Messing going to come out of the backfield? Shea Wookie in the flat? What's that look like? And then all of a sudden, when you have to do that, well, all of a sudden some running lanes might open up if Cam Peruski is suddenly, you know, daydreaming for a split second this season.
So falling back to the Lakers, they need this win.
Wow, that was a wrong answer.
They need this win against Harbor Beach. They're 4-3 right now. They don't win this game. You know, they need these playoff points to make the playoffs, I think.
That's for sure. But I saw enough from Lakers against Cass City that I think Lakers can take Bad Axe in week 9. And the way, I mean, so I was looking at the Goose Poop projections today, and Lakers has enough to get in at 5-4.
Oh.
And so, yeah, okay, so say they drop the game to Harbor Beach. They still got that game against Bad Axe. But I think you're going to see a little bit more, not desperation, but they know what's on the line against Harbor Beach. So I think you're going to see, I mean, if you can't get up and play your best ball for the Greater Than West Championship, you know, against your rival, well, then, you know, you've got another thing coming for you. But I think what we'll see for Lakers is they'll put their best team on the field, and they will throw everything they've got, because, like you said, Eddie, they need these playoff points. If they can beat Harbor Beach, then that win against Bad Axe only puts them in a better situation.
Yeah, playing against Millington, like you said earlier, and Ubley, both teams undefeated, adds those playoff points there, Mike. And then Cass City, one loss team. You get some reward on that, losing that game also, having those tough teams. And as if you can beat Harbor Beach, as Clark said, that really gives you some bonus points. A little bit of breathing room when you go in against Bad Axe. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of cool. We got the Greater Thumb Conference championship game with Cass City and Ubley, and then we got the second place. Well, I guess it would be third place game between Lakers and Harbor Beach. It's kind of cool how the schedule worked out that
way. Yeah, it did, didn't it? So, yeah, very cool. So, all right.
It was the second place team, so what are you talking about?
Harbor Beach Fires. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, and that's what's cool. And so back in the day, this would have been the Big Sum, or the Sum B and the Big Sum conferences back in the day. Week 9 used to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and that I absolutely, yeah, and that's where the Ron Rubel and Mark Gainforth rivalry began.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Rubel was a senior. Mark Gainforth was, I think, a sophomore quarterback, and those two went head-to-head in that final week when the number one team of the West played the number one team of the East and dialed the way down with 2, 3, 4, 5, which I think is a pretty sweet setup, and something maybe that the Big Thumb Conference could look at in the future.
So leave that blank and just wait until the two teams and have an unofficial Big Thumb Conference Championship. Yeah, I would love that.
Then we'll, and throw in some NIL in there and some transfer portals. But that's some fun.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. See, now Clark is going to be becoming a sports agent.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I'm ready to roll out a $1.5 billion media contract to cover Greater Thumb football.
All right. That will wrap up our talk in the Greater Thumb Conference there. Clark, thank you. Have fun at the game. That's a real big treat there to see Lakers and Harbor Beach again.
Thanks, we'll do. And looking forward to Thumb Tailgater covering the East versus the West championship game there between Ubley and Cassidy.
Great. All right, go have dinner with your wife.
Will do.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Clark.
Yep, see you.
All right, always great to have him on the line there, isn't it? So, great conversation there. We kind of...
Yeah.
I know, we're already talking playoffs, Mike, and it's only week 8.
Yeah, you know, Clark brings some validity to the show. Mm-hmm. He makes us sound a lot smarter of a show, so I always appreciate when he can call in. So,
no circles in geometry? It's half a circle?
Hey, that was news to me, too, so...
I think he's just pulling my leg again. I'm going to have to ask my daughter. She's pretty good at physics.
That's also not geometry.
It's not related?
No.
It's math, isn't it?
Maybe. No.
All right. Coming up, North Central Thumb League Talk. I think we got the Greater Thumb Conference covered. By the way, the games in the Greater Thumb Conference, we'll go off the list here. Big games on Thumb Tugger Sports. Ubley at Cass City. Basically, the Greater Thumb Conference unofficial championship there.
Mm-hmm.
Harbor Beach at Lakers. battle with the second place teams in the Greater Thumb East and Greater Thumb West. Marlette at Reese, you want those points. Sandusky at Carroll, looking for a bounce back win, and Carroll looking to pull off an upset.
Marlette Reese, kind of a sneaky good game. Reese has been playing a lot better recently, and Marlette outside of Harbor Beach and Ubley has been a fantastic football team. Last week against Bad Axe was probably their best performance of the season in all facets of the game. So that could be a sneaky good game. It's tough to play in Reese, but I think Marlette's clicking right now, and you know, that's a team that could finish the year 7-2. That'd be pretty impressive.
And Bad Axe is at Unionville Seaboing, Memphis at Vassar, the basement teams there. But still competitive.
No, Vassar's coming off a win, Eddie.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
So, all right, when we come back, talking the North Central Thumb League, your news coming up.
Everyone is sick of high-interest financing on new vehicles.
1.9, Sam.
1.9 what?
1.9% financing available on most new Chevys.
1.9% financing?
Yep.
That's lower than any bank around here.
Not even close. GM Financial is offering as low as 1.9% financing on all Silverado, Equinox, Traverse, and Blazer models.
This is over a 4% savings of what you currently can get from your local banks, which equates to over $5,000 in savings throughout the life of the loan.
And with trade-in allowances and owner loyalty incentives, you can get up to $10,000 in savings and as low as 1.9% financing on a demo Silverado. This is a great deal, folks.
We currently have 7 trucks in our demo program and are putting great discounts on a first-come, first-served basis.
With $10,000 in savings and as low as 1.9% financing, this is a great opportunity to get into the truck that you've been waiting for.
If you're currently in an Equinox, Blazer, or Colorado lease, you get an additional $1,000 in incentives to get into a new Silverado.
And with demo discount savings, your lease payment will be less than you think.
1.9% financing, demo discounts, and big incentive offers, there hasn't been a better time to purchase or lease your new vehicle at Graf Chevrolet on M46 in Sandusky.
You're on the Thumbs Information Station, 660 WMIC AM Sandusky and 95.3 FM W237 EQ Sandusky.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline, Thumb Sportsline Radio on WMIC AM 660. Thank you to all our contributors. Mike Gallagher here in the studio. Looking forward to the issue come Wednesday. How's it going?
Pretty good. We got some good stuff in there this week.
Yeah.
As you see, I got my Peck Pirates hat on today. The
Tampa Bay Buccaneers hat?
Peck Pirates hat.
Okay.
The Peck Equestrian team is heading to the state finals this weekend.
What's Equestrian?
Horse riding?
It's horse.
Yeah.
Horse.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on, Eddie.
I know.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And, of course, we got a great story about the CPS football team.
You do.
Up their first win of the season. Yeah.
That was our game of the week on WBGV 92.5 FM. It was homecoming night. I had to be there, but I felt there's something about this game that's going to be special.
I actually had a question
Tigers
about that.
Seeking their first win of the season, so yeah.
What was the last? When's the last time you've done a CPS game for Game of the Week?
It had been about 2 or 3 years, at least here at St. Like Broadcast.
Right.
Don't talk to sports. We try to sneak him in.
Uh huh.
So
because I was trying to figure it out, and I think it might have been when Coach Pathick beat Akron Fairgrove. I know you guys were there for that game.
Okay.
So.
For Thumb Tailgater?
No, for St. Like Broadcasting. St. Like Broadcasting, yeah. So I think you guys need to just start going to all the CPS games, and maybe they'll keep winning.
Well, my daughter asked me, he goes, are you going to do a CPS Tiger game, Daddy? And I goes, well, I don't know. And I kind of joked to her, only if you get on homecoming court, ha, ha, ha. And then boom, she came back to me. Because actually, honey, we were actually going to cover this game.
Mm-hmm.
We felt about this game, and I wanted to see Nathan Feltner, one of the fastest kids on the field. He was able to play. But CPS Tigers.
He lived
Tigers,
up to the hype, too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
If he's that fast injured, I want to see how I've seen how he is, you know, actual on the track. I've seen him on the track. So, but CPS Tigers came into play. It was homecoming night. You thought their attention would be elsewhere. No, they were hitting hard. You saw the first half. Mm-hmm. They were hitting hard out there. But the other bad thing is close to 100 yards of false start penalties for CPS Tigers.
Eh.
I counted at least 10.
Doesn't matter.
So... Yeah, yeah. You got to clean that up.
Did they win, though?
Yeah, but there was a couple times they were in the red zone a couple times.
Yeah.
and your score is taken away.
I don't care how you do it. As long as you get that win, that's all that matters.
Well, Caseville got their first win. I remember talking to the coach, Sam Rogers, about that earlier, too, on the field there. And, you know, congratulating him on that. It's hard for a coach of a team, you know, it's in the basement, you know, to just keep these players playing. I think players play because they just love the game, win or lose. If you really love the game, win or lose, you're going to keep coming out and playing because you just want to play the game, regardless.
I think that's what we saw from CPS on Friday, too. If you went to that game and you had no idea anything about CPS, you would have had no inkling that they were 0-6 overall.
Yeah.
I mean, they came out, they were fired up. This is a team that has not given up on this program, on this coach, and on this season. And it's nice to see them finally get rewarded for it. They've made a little bit of tweaks. You know, they run the Veer offense, which is, you know, kind of interesting for eight-player football. But for the first couple weeks, Colton Sharp was playing out of shotgun.
Yes.
He was playing under center. I don't know if you noticed, but Alex Schuneman in a three-point stance in the backfield with Isaiah Rosser standing up next to him. So just
which might explain some of those false starts. You know,
Eddie, you gotta let the false starts go.
I'm sorry. If I was an assistant coach, I'd be hammering them away.
Hey, I'm sure they're talking about it.
Okay. So, anyways, okay.
So, you know, it's great to see. I've seen CPS a few times this season, and you know, despite the 0-6 start, and despite you know some really tough losses, this is a team that hasn't quit. Yeah. And you wouldn't knock a team for quitting after starting 0-6.
No.
And it's a team that's made a lot of strides, and now it has the chance to finish the season with a winning streak. They have Peck this week. They have no Week 9 opponent yet. They are working on that. But this could be huge for the program. Yeah. At the beginning, you know, sitting at 0-6, I think people would have called you crazy if you said, oh, CPS is going to finish with 3 wins or even 2 wins. But this is a team that has not given up. This is a team that is looking pretty good on offense. But what really stood out was the defense, Eddie. That sequence before halftime, you know, when Caseville was in the red zone and CPS forced a fumble, got the ball back, fumbled it themselves, which that was unfortunate. But then the defense goes right back out there and gets them the ball back.
Yeah.
So it's not just offensively for CPS, it's the defense as well. Great way to start the game, Tyler Bartley with the interception, and then Tyler Bartley with the interception to finish the game.
Yes.
So it just a great night in CPS, and I'm really encouraged by what I've seen from this team and from Coach Beamish picking up his first win.
Because, by the way, Caseville was driving pretty good in the final minute.
There. They were
going to the spread. They were using the speed that they had on the team there, and they were getting some. They were driving past midfield at that point before Bartley made that interception and closing game. By then, all the timeouts were used up also. But Caseville's doing a pretty good job driving down the field there with the final minute.
So. Yeah, and you look at the offense for CPS. Colton Sharp, he has been extremely good this year. One of the leading rushers in the county, actually, you know, scoring a bunch of touchdowns. But what we saw on Friday night, you know, Colton Sharp, great game.
Yeah.
Alex Schuneman, though, he goes for 116 yards and 2 touchdowns. Isaiah Rosser gets the first touchdown of the game.
And he had a big key pickup on a long third down and long.
Yes.
Running down the sideline in the second half.
Yep. Yeah, so. And when I talked to Coach Beamish about that, he said, you know, Colton, he's not a selfish player by any means, but he's trusting his teammates more. And when you're running an offense like that, that's important.
Yeah, talking to the teammates, too, to lead out there.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. So he was impressive. You know, great night for Schuneman. He was a homecoming king as well, so that's pretty cool. Let me just rattle off a couple of stat lines for you, though.
Okay.
Tyler Bartley on defense, 10 tackles, 2 interceptions, 2 tackles for loss, a sack, and a pass deflection.
And his job was to spy on Feltner the whole game.
Yep, and he did a very good job of that. He had some hard hits, too. And then Isaiah Johnson, the defensive lineman, 10 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and a forced fumble.
I remember calling his name a lot.
Yeah, yep. So great win for CPS. It was very encouraging to see. And, you know, Coach Beamish made sure to point out assistant coach Travis Miller. You know, he's done a great job helping the program as well. And now you got Peck this week. And
it's a tough team.
It's a tough team. And we've seen in the past, you know, homecoming a couple years ago at CPS when CPS took them into double overtime, or no, into overtime, and nearly came away with the win last year. Very high scoring game, but that was a game that CPS hung with Peck for quite some time. So CPS really takes a lot of pride in playing against the Pirates. And, you know, with the way everything is clicking right now, they have a great opportunity to pick up a win over Peck, which I'm not 100% sure the last time that's happened. But Coach Beamish did tell me this was the first homecoming win for CPS in 10 years.
Wow.
So
that's history.
Just very, very cool. And it was great to see.
By the way, Nathan Feltner, and I know they may say he was okay. He's still bruised up. 14 carries, 122 yards, took a lot of hits, scored two touchdowns. There was this one defensive play where Colton Sharp scored a long touchdown run for 77 yards, I believe. Out of nowhere, just like from 30 yards away, zoom.
Yep.
Feltner's right behind him and almost brought him down within 5 yard line there.
Yeah.
But, you know, Colton Sharp got in for the touchdown, but man, that's a fast kid out there.
The end of the second half there too.
Yeah, and you talk about the 233 total yards on 32 carries, by the way, rushing wise for Caseville. You talk about teams that don't quit. Caseville's one of those teams.
Yeah.
Having, you know, kind of the basement teams, but they don't quit also throughout the season. They continue to go out there and play whoever they got to play. So.
Yeah, and it was tough because I don't cover Caseville, obviously, but you always root for the team that's had a long losing streak.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see them beat North Huron. You know, they battled with Akron Fairgrove, took them to overtime. And, you know, Sam Rogers, such a great guy and great coach. It was unfortunate that somebody had to lose that game. I am glad that CPS was able to pick up the win. And, you know, these are two programs that are heading in the right direction. With Caseville,
with stability,
I feel like,
you hope.
Right. Yeah. And with Caseville, I feel like you haven't been able to say that in a while. CPS, you know, with Coach Hartzell, you know, that was a program that was on, you know, its way up. And it's nice to see that him leaving isn't the end of that.
Yeah.
Coach Beamish has steped in and, you know, he loves being at CPS. So hopefully this is a spot for him to be for, you know, a few years now. They have a great junior high team at CPS.
Yes, so, they do. They got the numbers there.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you build a little bit of momentum to finish up the this season, and, you know, who knows about next year.
So you had some numbers there you want to point out?
No, not.
For CPS or yard-wise, rushing-wise?
Colton Sharp did have 122 yards on 14 carries, a 77-yard touchdown to start the second half. That was huge. He also had a big pass to Tyler Bartley. That was in the first
first half.
Yeah. Yep, that kept a drive alive, 32-yard pass. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Ryan Bond, by the way, also the quarterback, was the second leading rusher for Caseville, 72 yards. Nathan Feltner, 122 yards, as I mentioned, and two touchdowns. Up next for Carsonville, as you said, Peck, and then they don't know who they have yet in week 9.
Right. So. They are working on getting somebody for that game. Just another kind of a...
And Caseville has Ashley and K-Pack, so two tough teams.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I won't count Caseville out in either of those games. Kind of an interesting note from last week's game, you know, with the homecoming festivities, with the band out on the field and all that. CPS had 5 guys in the locker room at halftime, so... it's just, you know, a testament to these kids, staying focused on what's important. Obviously homecoming, big deal, very cool, but you know, they kept their eyes, you know, on the prize, and it was nice to see them. Cause you know, right to start the second half, they go up by 2 scores. So that was great to see. And, yeah, I mean, I'm just super excited because we've been talking about CPS all season,
and we've been picking them.
We've been picking them every week, and you know, because I believed in them every week.
Yes.
I really thought it was there, and you know, I got to call myself out. I picked Caseville, so maybe I should just.
Wow, you gave up on them?
I don't say that, Eddie. Don't say that. I did not give up on CPS. I had heard that Nathan Feltner may be playing, and
usually that turned.
Yeah, that could be a turning point.
But that was a great defensive plan, though, because they had a spy on him, and then had the cleanup tackle on him.
Absolutely,
you had to have 2 guys on that guy. So.
Yeah, well, and with
he got away. He had 122 yards and 2 touchdowns.
He did.
So when he got away, he got away. So.
Yep, and then you have Isaiah Johnson in the middle. That's eating up everything. thing. Yeah. So just a great job, great game plan from the Tigers. Yeah, I mean, just very exciting.
Yeah. So other scores, New Haven Merritt, you were at that game earlier, 62-8 over Peck. That was an early game. Woo.
Yeah, that was a 48-0 game at halftime. I don't know. So I've seen New Haven twice this year, against CPS and against Peck, and I don't know what happened with them because they didn't have a great start to the season. I believe they started 0-3, actually, and the past 3 weeks, they've been unstoppable. They've been one of the best teams in the Stripes outside of All Saints. They have a running back, Zion Campbell. Against Peck, he had 405 yards and 6 touchdowns on 11 carries. I don't know. It looks like he's been playing all season. I don't know if they were missing a lineman or a quarterback or what. I don't know what happened with New Haven Merritt in these past 3 weeks, but they look like world beaters.
Yeah.
You look at that score, and it's a little lopsided. Peck was missing their senior Gabe Gerber. You know, that's a big loss for them. It sounds like he may play in the CPS game, but New Haven, they're sitting at 3-3, and if they, I don't know what happened with them that made them play so much better these past 3 weeks, but this is a team that probably could have been competing for the Stripes if they had figured it out a little bit earlier, because they shut out CPS, they shut out Caseville, they give up one touchdown to Peck, so it's both sides of the ball, and New Haven Merritt, I mean, they kind of go under the radar. I'm glad that I've gotten to see them twice this year. For those that don't know, they play earlier. They play at 4:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon because they don't have stadium lights.
You're right.
So that's given me the opportunity to cover CPS there. And
you covered
there.
Three games in one day there.
I did Friday, on Friday. Yes, wow. I did. Yeah. I'm glad that I got to see Zion Campbell. He's a senior this year. I don't know, what his future plans are, but it might be in football. So, Peck, they nearly had that win against North Huron, and I think that could have been so huge for the program if they could have got that win. Because again, it's a young team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They've been having some struggles lately. I think that North Huron win could have been huge for them. They still have an opportunity to, just like CPS. It's a rivalry game for Peck. If you go to CPS and beat the Tigers, hey, that's huge. Unfortunately, you wrap up the season with Deckerville. That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
So if you're Peck, you got to go out and win this one against CPS. Just a note about the Peck-Deckerville game. That is at the halftime of that game. That's a Thursday night game. So at the halftime of that game, they will be honoring the 2013 state championship team, football team at Peck at halftime. So that'll be kind of cool.
When will that be?
That will be the Deckerville game.
And that will be in week 9?
That'll be week 9,
okay.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Right.
And, that was a great game last year. I believe it went to 4 overtimes. Yeah. This is a very different Peck team, and this is a very different Deckerville team.
Yeah.
But it's a rivalry game. You never know what can happen in a rivalry game. I'm not selling Deckerville short. I'm just trying to,
You're trying to hype it up.
Yeah,
Akron-Faragove winning over North Huron also. Akron-Faragove with the win over North Huron, 36-0. Oh, boy. Sets up the North Central Thumb League Stripes Division Championship game against the Bay City All Saints, who shut out Ashley 66-0. Mike, you couldn't find anything greater than what we have here in the last couple of weeks are really major championship games here, and this is another one. Pretty excited for this game. And I believe Scotty B is going to be covering this game.
Yes, he
is.
It's
a Thursday night game.
And he's actually going to call us right now to give us a little preview of that game because he is the the Akron Fairgrove guy. He knows everything about him.
So we're going to take a quick commercial break and wait for him to call in. We'll be right back here on Sportsline.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the ABS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The ABS Tech Team, serving the Thumbs technology needs since 2008.
Hello, Mark McGarry here for More Motor Sales in Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales in Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro and M81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline. And with us, we're talking the North Central Thumb League Stripes Division. We left off in the Akron Fairgrove Vikings with their win over North Huron, shutting them out 36-0. Got to play the horn. Also, Bay City All Saints shutting out Ashley 66-0, setting it up the big showdown. With us on the phone is Tuscola County Advertiser sports writer Scotty B. Scott Bowlesby, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling feeling a big Vikings win coming up this Thursday night, hopefully.
Wow, you're going against the All Saints?
I got to root for the Vikings, man. It's been forever since they've brought home any kind of conference hardware. So I really want them to go out there and take care of business against the Cougs.
Yeah, I'm not even going to watch Prime Thursday night football, because the Thursday night football game that's important is in the Thumb with the Vikings up against the Bay City All Saints. Are you covering this game? Is it official?
Yes, absolutely. I teetered on it for a little bit, but I got to be there. I got to be there for Akron Fairgrove. They were excited when I mentioned that I was probably going to be over there for it, and they said, okay, we'll make space for you. So they're moving around the coaches because they only have so much space up in their booth.
Yeah.
So they move around. They put the away coaches in the home booth, and then the home coaches sit out in the middle with the announcer. So they're willing to do all that. I have to give up my Thursday night regardless and go over there and cover that Viking squad. And I was kind of looking through some information today. Guys, the last time Akron Fairgrove, and I could be wrong, but I really don't think so because I double, triple checked everything. The last time they won anything outright was in 1977 when they went 7-0 in the conference, just above Owen Gage, who went 6-1 in the NCTL.
Wow.
How long have they been in the NCTL now? How old is the NCTL?
That's a great question.
We'll leave that for the thread tomorrow.
Yeah. I'd have to look back and see how long ago the NCTL was. But Akron Fairgrove did leave for a little while to go to that Mid-Michigan 8-Man Conference.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
They shared the crown that year with Owen Gage, because Owen Gage was stealth the couple years there. And then they shared it back in the early 90s with, I believe, Kindy North Huron and Kingston one year.
Yep.
And, yeah, so they've shared it a couple times, but to win it outright, it's been a long, long time. And, you know, this is really setting up to be a battle with both teams coming in undefeated, both teams same record, 6-1, both lost their opening week game. So, it's, you know, it's setting up to be a big game. And, you know, Gatlin Guild out right now, unfortunately, but they've been finding other ways to win these games. Defense has been stepping up, so you know, I'm excited to see what Akron Fairgrove can do. They are only 1-7 all time against Bay City All Saints, but it's time to start turning that tide.
The lone loss for the Akron Fairgrove Vikings was against Kingston way back in week one, 62-0. Obviously that win maybe kicked him into gear, saying, hey, we got to be a lot better than this. And it shows as you look through the games here, although Peck gave him a pretty tough game in week three. But, Scotty, and then they went 46-40, in overtime against Caseville. You know, a little bit of a Jekyll Hyde moments here for Akron Fairgrove. Or is there something I'm not seeing? Is there some? Are they banged up, or are they better now, or healed up from this?
Well, okay, so the Akron Fair, or the Kingston game was obviously... And this is no disrespect to the Viking Nation, but it didn't really catch a lot of us off guard because we knew Kingston was going to come in as a stout team. They were ready to go this season. Akron Fairgrove, I know Gatlin did not play. He's arguably one of their better players in the team, senior leader. He did not play week one. He was able to come back after week two, played a couple weeks. I'm not going to get into details why he's not playing, but he is not playing until the postseason. So they've really had to come together and find other ways to win. You know, talking to Coach Trogan after the Peck win, he said this team has really picked it up a lot over the past couple weeks, ever since the Kingston win. And then, you know, they kind of take a step backwards, losing Gatlin. But now they're kind of figuring things out. Big win over Kindy North Huron last week. And I got to say, a much improved Kindy North Huron team too. They've really figured out some stuff up there as well, and it might not always show, but you can definitely see they're not getting blown out as much. But Akron Fairgrove did what they had to do, and you know, just looking, I just did my write up on it, and you're seeing some names kind of pop out for Akron Fairgrove that can really step up, and you know, it's gonna take a lot. I'm not gonna lie. It's gonna take a lot to beat this Bay City All Saints squad. They're not gonna roll over. But I know Coach Trogan's gonna have them ready at home.
Just real quick, guys, talking about the NCTL, and we need to save this for another episode where we can get a little bit more in depth. But the NCTL was formed in 1961, so it's been around for 62 years. This is the final year of the NCTL as we go to the Big Thumb, and this kind of just shows you how much has changed in the NCTL. In 1961, members of the conference were Harbor Beach, OLLH, CPS, Caseville, Port Hope, Port Austin, and Peck.
Port Hope?
Port Hope.
Wow.
Port Austin.
And Port Austin.
And Harbor Beach, OLLH, which is no longer a high school.
Was Port Austin known as the Pirates?
They were the Pirates.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. What about Port Hope?
Blue Stars?
There you go.
Yeah. I should know
The Tim Murphys.
Yeah, the fighting Tim Murphys. So I have a question for Scott.
Okay.
I picked North Huron this week against Akron Fairgrove. So first of all, shame on me. But the reason was because the score against Ashley was kind of confusing to me. What was the difference between the Ashley game and the North Huron game? Was there anything that really stood out in the box score, or was that, you know, just an off week, or you know, what happened in those 2 weeks?
Yeah, so I talked to Jared Skias. He is the Akron Fairgrove boys basketball coach. He was in Reese this week for their homecoming. He's a Reese grad. Akron Fairgrove was on the road. He's kind of taking a step back, getting ready for basketball season. So he had the weekend off. So he was over there, and we chatted for a little bit. You know, what happened? He said they just could not move the ball. He's like, I really can't give a reason why they couldn't. They couldn't move the ball. And he said, you know, with the homecoming festivities, kind of threw them off as well. They just didn't seem to play as crisp as they have been playing. So he didn't really have a full answer of why things had changed. He just kind of, you know, put it as basically the only thing he said is we couldn't move the ball, and, you know, homecoming festivities kind of threw us off. But And I don't disagree with you picking North Huron, because that Akron game against Ashley was really worrisome when I started seeing the score come out. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we'll see what happens this week. And, you know, they went into North Huron and just took care of business, plain and simple. Yeah. And I think that was a huge boost for them going into this game against All Saints.
Yeah, that was very encouraging. That was great to see. And, you know, credit to Ashley. They have been playing very good defensively this year. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, and go into North Huron and pick up a win there. That's that's impressive.
By the way, the only loss for Bay City All Saints is back in week one also against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, another NCTL Stars Division team also. And Auburn Hills playing better. I guess they've gotten some players back healthy-wise also. Mm-hmm. Some of the key players, by the way, I'm kind of, you know, glancing over whatever All Saints have left on their max preps. Jack Wetters is a sophomore. He is the quarterback and, I do believe, one of the leading rushers. He can pass also. One of the receivers is a sophomore also. This is a young All Saints team. Bo Williams on this team. So, a very young All Saints team. They're going to be around for a couple of years here. So.
We need to get Lee Thompson on the phone. Maybe he could give us All Saints scouting report. I know he's not part of the TSA, but...
Yeah. So, hey, by the way, no, go ahead, Scotty.
I was just going to say, he would have a lot more insight on the All Saints squad. Yeah.
On the music side, very exciting news. Gary Newman is going back on tour, coming back to Michigan for the third time within a couple years. He is coming with the Industrial Bands Ministry and Frontline Assembly, Royal Oak Music Theater, March 13th for all those music fans.
I did see that. Yes. I was kind of...
Mike has no idea.
Yeah, I'm glad we got I'm glad we have Scott on the phone because I have no idea who you're talking about.
Gary Newman, the song Cars and Cars. His new stuff is awesome.
Okay.
It's heavier. Yeah, it's really cool. So
I haven't listened to Gary Newman in years. Or not years. I haven't listened to his new stuff.
Oh, that's great.
It's been his old stuff that I've listened to. And the fact that he was playing with Ministry kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
But, maybe I should check out his new stuff if you're giving it some rave reviews, Eddie.
I got to interview the guy, too, to promote that album.
I didn't know that. That's pretty awesome. I mean,
he's
that song, if nothing else, will definitely live forever.
So, yeah, I'm going to throw it back on our rock show there. So, very cool. I'm getting ready for a 7 Dust show a week from tomorrow also. So, I'll be late.
Yeah, I love 7 Dust.
All right, so the North Central Thumb League right there, big game. I may have to skip a volleyball game and head to this game. Akron Fairgrove hosting Bay City All Saints for the North Central Thumb League Stripes Division. Couldn't ask for anything better. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Are you going to stick around, Scotty, because we have more NCTL to talk?
I mean, if you want me to, I have nothing else going on.
Sure, we're
going to
talk about Kingston when we come back, so we'll be right back.
Perfect.
For the WMIC and WTGV 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John McMurray.
Happy 65th birthday!
Here's a cake!
Here's a book!
Here's a tie!
And here's your paperwork to fill out your Medicare supplement insurance.
No, here's a card for Grant Smith. His health insurance agency specializes in those issues dealing with Medicare.
Don't get frustrated by all the different options for Medicare supplement insurance policies. It doesn't cost a penny more to have me and my staff help you find the proper coverage to fit your needs.
Call Grant Smith today.
By the way, happy birthday.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, faith, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline, Thumb Sportsline Radio. Eddie Fury with you, along with Mike Gallagher, Sandlot County News Sports, and also on the phone still with us to talk NCTL football, Scott Bowlesby from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Real quick here, Scotty, I know Millington is in our Thumb Sports Writers, Thumb Sports Writers Media Association teams to cover. Millington win again and still undefeated. I voted the number one in my poll. I'm sorry, Ubley. They're still undefeated. Tied for the number one poll spot once again with Ubley also. And how's this Millington team look looking ahead here?
They're getting better every week. This Bullet Creek squad was looking tough coming into this game. They played Standish Sterling tough earlier in the season. Their record doesn't really show it. I mean, I think they're like 4-3, but the TBC is a tough conference. And Dallas Walsh, running back, junior, he's just been picking it up. He finished the game with 163 yards rushing and 14 carries with 3 touchdowns. He also had 14 tackles and an interception. He took back 40 yards. He's just been really, really playing well. Millington does play Flint Southwestern Friday. If you were planning on going to that game in Flint, it is now not in Flint. So if you want to get a chance to check out Millington, they will be at home on Friday. And, yeah, so you can come on out and check out Millington in an unexpected home game as they take on the Flint Jaguars. And Flint's winless this season, so it could get ugly, and it could get ugly quick.
And then Millington will wrap up the season against Birch Run, and old Tri-Valley East opponent also in week 9. And they're 5-2. They're a good team, so Millington's got to be careful. So
yeah, and they also have Trent Dalek, who is the son of Angie Compton, on their team. So you know that he's going to be competitive and try to get that Birch Run team to a win.
All eyes will definitely be on that game.
Yeah.
Okay, North Central Thumb League Stars Division. Kingston Cardinals win themselves in Week 7. Can't believe it's Week 7 already. With the win over KPAC, 48-8. Owen Corlish, once again, just putting up the yards on the board there. He had 163 yards, 16 carries, 4 touchdowns in the game. James Rail, they gave him a feed. They gave him a touchdown for 36 yards carried. Pretty much was Owen Corliss throughout the whole game, and that's pretty much what they did. And not much yardage, but 252 total yards rushing-wise for Kingston, 87 yards passing, as Tanner James and Owen Corliss have been switching back and forth in quarterback positions. So good win for Kingston, one loss, and that was against Brown City earlier in the season.
Yeah, and real quick, if Mike wants to talk a little bit more, but Tanner James and Owen Corliss are swapped out quarterback and running back in the Deckerville game, and it seems like you're going to see a little bit more of that because they want to get Corliss the rock as much as they can. Tanner James is a quarterback. He played quarterback at JV level and on his way up as his, you know, through youth. So he's, you know, he fits at that quarterback position. So expect to see Tanner James lining up under center at quarterback and Owen Corliss in the backfield as running back. It could happen quite a bit in the next couple of weeks as we get into the playoffs.
Yeah, have fun game planning for that. Opposing teams.
Oh, boy. Up next for Kingston, they will have Mayville. I think that's a thumb-tugger sports game. Mayville started off pretty hot. And now they played against some of the toughest teams. They played Brown City, lost 60-0. This past week, losing to Deckerville 44-6. And now they have Kingston. What a gauntlet for Mayville. This is going to be tough after seeing what they did against Brown City and Deckerville. Things don't look good here.
I was going to say, I don't expect to get any easier for Mayville this week. I expect the same type of score with Kingston. You add the rivalry to it. It's going to be at Kingston. So, yeah, I expect the same type of thing. And then it doesn't get any easier week 9. In a game that we thought might not be played with Ashley, Ashley's playing a lot better right now. So it'll be huge to see what Mayville, if they do drop 3 in a row, we'll see what they can do in week number 9 as they, you know, they're fighting for their playoff lives right now. And that's weird to say as the way they started off the season. But, you know, they need a win against Kingston this week. So they're going to go out there and fight for the playoff lives while Kingston's going to go out to try to keep that their rivalry streak against Mayville alive. But, you know, I love my Wildcats. I wish that they could have picked up a win somewhere in this streak, but it's not looking like the run is going to be in their favor.
But a good win, bounce back win for Deckerville, winning over KPAC there, or Mayville, that is. Sorry.
We're getting towards the end of the show,
yeah,
Eddie.
44-6. What did Deckerville have in this game after bouncing back for that loss to Kingston on Saturday a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, great response from Deckerville. You know, they're going through a tough stretch right now as well.
Yeah.
Dylan Ball, 199 yards on 30 touches, touchdown. Hunter Garza, again, you know, we've been talking about him all season. 116 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns on 9 carries. 7 of 11 passing, 154 yards, 3 touchdowns. So Dylan Ball has the first touchdown of the game, and then Hunter Garza is responsible for the last 5. Deckerville rushed for 361 yards on 54 carries. That is a Deckerville football stat line right there. This is a good Deckerville team. Unfortunately, they couldn't get it done against Brown City. They couldn't get it done against Kingston. But there's no shame in that, because those are both great teams, and those are both teams that Deckerville will not have to face in the playoffs. So I think, you know, when we talked about Deckerville at the beginning of the season being Division II in 8-player, this is a team that has the potential to make a run, and I think they're proving that right now. This is a nice win against Mayville, I'm not sure who they have. Oh, they have Atherton this week.
Yes.
That'll be another test.
Atherton's a scary team.
Yeah, Atherton mm-hmm. gave them trouble last year, too.
They can score points.
They
lost to Mayville back in week 2. They only lost by 2. Mm-hmm. They got the win over KPEC, a close one, 14-6. They lost to Kingston, but put up 22 points. Kingston just scored more, 56 points. And they made it tough against Brown City, 16 points to Brown City's 38. So limiting Brown City to 38 points mm-hmm. is a pretty good success in its own
quarter. Which is crazy to say, but yeah.
Then they got 2 straight wins over Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian. That was a great win, 36-30, and then shut out Dryden 52-0. Now they have Deckerville North here on here. They're 3-3 right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you know, I expect Deckerville to finish the season with 2 wins. I know that's not really going out on too far of a limb, but this is a team that
you certainly can't sleep on. Burton Atherton. So
no, that's fair. That's fair. But I do expect the Eagles to pick up 2 more wins and get ready for the postseason. You know, that they have, you know, according to the projections, we may see a Deckerville-Akron-Fairgrove game. I really like Deckerville's chances at making a run, though.
Yeah. So I want to mention KPEC stats against Kingston. They did put up at least 115 yards. I want to say this because the coach makes sure he sends a link to Huddle all the time to
us. And we like those coaches, yeah.
Yeah, we like those coaches. Thank you. The lone score was Carlos Uribe Arce, 5-yard run. It was 14-8 at that point in the second quarter, so KPEC kind of hung in there with them until Kingston probably got some good talking to on the sidelines. And let's get back in gear out there. And 115 total yards, 51 passing, 64 rushing yards for KPEC. You know, they're like, again, one of those teams that go out there and they just love to play the game. They're glad to field the team, because had they been 11 players, they probably won't have a team. So at least you're playing football, and that's a good thing. We like that. So you know, those teams that just tough it out, take your licks against these tougher teams, and the winning teams appreciate having a game. They just appreciate and they show that respect, you know, mm-hmm. on the other side of the aisle there. So, and I think Millington is showing it against Flint. I know they're treating them some. The athletic department is going to take care of them also. For the Flint fans, are not charging them for admission. And they're going to feed the team after the game, too. So that's a great thing.
You're going to give them pizza. And yeah, because this is all unexpected, unfortunately. So, couldn't ask for anything better than that. So shout out to the Millington Athletics program.
All right. And other scores, it was Brown City defeating Auburn Hills Oakland Christian 28-13. Is that the lowest point scored by Brown City this season? I do believe it was.
Probably, but that's only because they've been scoring like 60 points a game.
Right.
and, you know, that's kind of a situation where Brown City is going to get everybody's best effort every single night. They've got the target on their backs. They've earned that target. So I'm not going to look too much into that. I unfortunately don't have Brown City stats for you. I don't have a box score or anything. But I do have this. With the win, Brown City clinched a share of the NCTL Stars title. The last time Brown City won any type of conference title was in 1999. They shared the Greater Thumb East conference title with Croswell Lexington. And then in 1994 was the last outright conference title for Brown City. So, KPAC, yeah, you know, that's a game you're supposed to win, but there's a lot on the line for Brown City, and last season we you know, they played that independent schedule, and we had the what ifs, and you know, how would they do in the NCTL, how would they play against Kingston, how would they do in the Stars, so it's been really nice to see Brown City in the last year of the NCTL win the Stars title.
Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian against Brown City. Well, they don't have them up yet. Okay, they don't have those stats up yet. Okay,
yeah.
I'll skip that then.
Yeah.
But good win, obviously, for Brown City. Tough win. And like you said, if they beat KPEC, outright champions, and then if Bay City All-States wins, week nine looks good for NCTL unofficial conference championship game there. So
yeah, and let me see if I can find it real quick. The last time Brown City
won a league title, right?
Well, went undefeated in a season. Looks like it was...
Wasn't that last year?
Nope.
The regular season?
They lost to Martin last year.
Well, yeah, in the playoffs, but yeah,
in the regular season. In the regular season.
Yeah.
Martin beat him.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
In 1992, Brown City went undefeated. That was the last time they went 9-0. They won the STAA. Eddie, do you?
Is that the Southern Thumb
Athletic Association?
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. They won the conference title, or the association title, I should say.
That was a big league too.
Yes, it was.
They had Croswell Lexington was in that one. Weren't they?
They were not.
They were not?
They were in the St. Clair
League. All right. Yeah. Well, of that year.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's the NCTL and the games we have this week for the NCTL. We already mentioned all the other games in high school eight player football. The big game Thursday night, Scotty B, right there, who we're talking to, is going to be on 92.1 WIDL and streaming online. I might actually skip a volleyball game and head over there just to see that game. Pretty exciting to see an NCTL Stripes Division Championship. Bay City All-State at Akron Fairgrove on Thursday. Peck is at Carson but Port Sanilac. North Heron at New Haven Merritt. Caseville, Ashley. Burton Adrotine at Deckerville. It's homecoming at Deckerville. Mayville at Kingston. KPEC at Brown City. And Dryden at Auburn Hills. Oakland Christian for your NCTL schedule. Anything else to add there, Scotty? Go ahead.
Is you going to grab JV and bring him over too?
We all want to see this. You know, it's a Thursday night. I work from home on Fridays now, usually, when it's game day. So,
wow.
Yeah. So
finally taking some time to yourself.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do swap shop now only twice a week.
Oh, I bet people are mad about that.
No. It's fine. Yeah. So they get the cranky old man off the air. So
yeah. Real quick, Eddie, I know we're very close to the end of the show, but I do want to throw this out there. Tomorrow night in North Branch,
Crosslex,
North Branch Volleyball. These are two, if not the best teams in the thumb, just because I haven't seen Cass City yet, so I don't know, you know, where they rank in that. But these are the two best teams in the thumb going at it. That'll be for first place in the BWAC. North Branch, number one team in the state. Crosslex, number 10 team in the state. And then also Thursday night, we get the Brown City Marlette volleyball rematch. Brown City plays Ubley tomorrow night. Marlette plays Sandusky tomorrow night. That's the pink out game at Sandusky. If Brown City and Marlette both win on Tuesday night, Thursday night will be for first place in the Greater Thumb East Conference. Both teams only have one loss. Both teams have been playing very well lately. I'm hoping that we get that matchup on Thursday night for first place. But Brown City has lost to Ubley, and Sandusky has been playing pretty well lately. So you can't look past those opponents on Tuesday night. But we potentially have first place on the line Thursday night.
Very cool. That's a big volleyball matchup tomorrow, by the way. That's the Crosslex North Branch matchup. So,
yes.
Scotty, anything from your end you want to mention?
Nope, Mike got it covered.
Cross country, what's going on?
We're getting pretty close to the end of it. We got the
regionals coming up, isn't it?
Regionals coming up. We got tennis regionals this weekend, Scotty.
Yes.
Okay.
This weekend. Yeah.
Yep. Sandusky's got a shot. Golf too. Yeah. We're coming down to the end of it.
And soccer districts start this week as well.
Oh, man.
Playoffs in soccer already?
Wow.
This week?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. North Branch is at Holly on Wednesday. Carroll and USA play each other. Frankenmuth plays, I can't remember off the top of my head. That's pretty much the gist of my coverage teams around the area.
Very cool. All right. Hey, by the way, thank you, Scotty B. We'll let you go. Pick up the Tuscola County Advertiser Saturdays and Wednesdays, specifically Wednesdays, or by the online e-edition that I have also. Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Scott.
Yep. See you guys.
And also our contributors, Clark Ramsey from WLEW Sports, calling in, talk about Lakers, Cass City. Also, Jonathan Bisher, my bowling partner. We won. Once again, playing against ourselves.
Well, you better win.
Senior League and the bowling team and Jonathan Mitchell with Thumbtugger Sports. Their games, they have Kingston Mayville and also Ubley Cassidy. Clark Ramsey of WOW Sports has Harbor Beach Lakers game. We're trying to figure out what game to cover. Are you thinking about Marlette Reese or Croswell-Lexington North Branch?
Ooh, I know I wasn't here for the BWAC talk, but yeah. Croswell-North Branch, that's a nice-looking matchup right there. I know North Branch coming off the loss to Armada, but we've been waiting for Armada to finally get that win all season, yeah. So I'm not going to take anything away from North Branch. Yeah. Croswell with an impressive win over MLA City. You might have to go to that one, Eddie.
All right, you're twisting my arm even more.
Okay.
Though, so we'll
Speaking
see.
Of Croslex yes. soccer, Wednesday night, they will be opening district play against Armada. That's at 5 o'clock at Croswell.
Okay. It's Mike Gallagher, Salem County News. The issue comes out on Wednesdays. Pick up your edition or get the online edition also. Paul Adams also from the Huron County View. Huron Daily Tribune out there also. Tom Green and Nathan Marks from the Minden City Herald. Ashley Winter Palmer out there from Thumbtack Hitter Sports. Also, Phil Nickel, John Kruger or Crazier, Mikey Smith Jr. out there, and also want to thank some other help up there. Cody Klee on the bowling team.
Who'd you have in the booth with you on Friday?
And Jason Parmenter for the Varsity Monthly. That was Junior Leskowski.
Okay.
In training.
Okay, nice addition.
Yeah. All right, thank you for tuning in on Sportsline.
Celebrating over 50 years on the air. This is AM 660, WMIC Sandusky, and 95.3 FM, W237 EQ Sandusky.